Well, good morning, and thank you for your welcome to us this morning. It's great to be back in our home church. It's great to be back home. Hilary and I are conscious very much that we are sent by the whole church, but we're especially conscious of that when we are here in our own church. It was Stephen who encouraged us first, when this was merely an idea, a possibility, a question in our minds. Stephen encouraged us to go further. It was in this church that we were commissioned before going out to Pakistan. Commissioned just means sent. So the sending out, really, the message of that came from this church. And each year you've also supported us with your prayers, your interest, your messages, your letters. And several people in the congregation have, over the years, looked after the physical things at home, our house, our mail, and so on. And forgive me if I mention just one of you by name. Every year, David Halliday has taken care of our house and has put it together again when the wind and the climate did its worst. So thank you, David, and thank you to all of you who have helped us in different ways when we've been away. We have been teaching since January 2008 in Foreman Christian College in Lahore. It's a university college with about 4,000 degree students and another 2,000 at the sixth form stage. Hilary teaches statistics and Christian studies, and I teach mathematics. Our pattern at present is that we teach there for the first half of each academic year. So we return from Lahore in January, and we plan to be back in the college in August. This is the college's 150th year this year, and the main celebrations are in fact happening this week.
Yes, it is great to be here. Students in Foreman pay fees to the college, and some families can afford to pay. Some are too poor. About 40% of the students receive at least part of their fees, that's about £850 a year at the moment, from a scholarship. The funds for scholarship come from many generous donations, including one from the outreach fund of this church. We want to thank the congregation for that, and the students who receive scholarships are truly grateful. Because we began teaching in 2008, one of the pleasant experiences now is to meet former students who have graduated. They have the same concerns that students here have about getting jobs and about their future. However, if they're from poor families, they will be expected to be the breadwinner for their family, their parents, and younger brothers and sisters. We knew one student who'd completed his degree in February 2013. He was very worried about getting a job. However, within a month, he'd obtained a teaching job in a school very far north, up on the mountains. It's a Christian school, and he feels a sense of purpose there. His food and accommodation are provided by the school, and he earns about £100 a month. His family are poor, but he's sending them £85 a month, and that's far more than they've ever had. Two other students both graduated in biotechnology 2 years ago and are now doing postgraduate study in the college. They're both committed to using their knowledge to improve health and food production in Pakistan. Each year we invite them to dinner soon after our arrival. We notice that every time we invite them, they ask if they can bring another student. Only later do we discover that the person they've introduced to us has been lonely or living under stress. The motto of our college is, by love, serve one another. And these two postgraduates are living out that motto. approximately 15% of the students are Christian and the remainder are Muslim. In the college, students of both faiths have a chance to practice their faith in a relaxed way. There's a mosque and a church on the site, both well used. This year, our college has a Centre for Dialogue and Action, just opening, whose aim is to promote greater understanding and respect among the different faiths in Pakistan. Beginning this term with a course on building bridges, it aims to help students translate into the community the understanding and respect which is part of their college experience. One of the changes we've seen in our time there is an increase in the proportion of women students and staff in the college. At the moment, about 1/3 of the university students are women, and it's likely to increase to about a half within the next few years, because the college is about to open a new women's hostel on the site. There is a women's hostel, but they're opening a new big one. It's only fair that Ron should be surrounded by good-looking young women, because there's 4,000 handsome, charming young men say good morning to me each morning, so it's only fair. Oh yeah, there was something really sad happened in September. Christians were shocked when two suicide bombers attacked a church in Peshawar and they killed over 80 people. It was right at the end of the service. The children were coming back into church. The bombers came in. There were a lot of children killed. This was the most vicious attack on Christians since the formation of Pakistan.
Because of the violence, people often ask us if we're returning to Pakistan. People ask that in Pakistan also, of course. But more recently, the question being asked is, do you have any hope for this country? That has made us think about the foundation of our hope. On what is hope based? Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Paul reminds us that we have access to God through Christ. Because of that, we rejoice in our hope of the glory of God. And then, perhaps more surprisingly, he says that we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because hope is an outcome of suffering. Suffering can lead to perseverance, perseverance to character, and character to hope. And the hope is not wishful thinking. Hope does not disappoint us, he says. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The process of suffering, perseverance, character, hope is a work of the Holy Spirit in us. Of course, hope can be our experience even without suffering, but sometimes we can see God more clearly through the intensity of suffering. C.S. Lewis wrote, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. Job knew God, but his ordeal had brought even him into a new relationship with God. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes the promise of the outcome of suffering for his followers even more explicit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then later Jesus adds, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Is God giving a rash promise to those Christians of Peshawar in words such as, you will experience a blessing even when suicide bombers kill 80 of your congregation? Pray for those who are behind this atrocity. The experience of the Old Testament and of countless Christians has been that the promise is true. Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The only way in which those Christians can rejoice and know a blessing through that terrible deed is because God has poured his love into their hearts. We know one student who is experiencing that blessing. He lost an aunt and uncle in the bombing, and we have seen the love of God touching him through his fellow students. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is not telling us to seek persecution or suffering, but he is saying that if our life in him results in suffering, we can trust even through it that there will be a blessing. When there have been anxious times in Pakistan, and there have been, our daily Bible study is not a routine, but a treasure. In those moments, we can pour out our human weakness to God and receive his assurance of purpose and peace. It's in those moments that hope grows as we ask the Holy Spirit to work through us in the coming hours in our small part of the world. It's during those moments that God deals with our fears and calms us with his peace, which is far beyond human understanding, and garrisons our hearts and minds in union with Christ Jesus. every one of us has experienced or will experience suffering in ourselves or in others. Perhaps that suffering is seen by others, or it might be known only to ourselves and God. And for some of us, the road seems very long. Listen again to the words of Paul. We also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. In the Old Testament, the phrase hope in the Lord is sometimes translated as wait for the Lord or wait on the Lord. Waiting for the Lord and hoping in the Lord come together. In Psalm 32, verses 20 to 22, we read, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. The psalmist, Paul, and Jesus are telling us that when we find ourselves on the path of suffering, we don't have to journey alone. We can rest on the constant love of God and know that with it will come blessing, even if we don't know how. Our suffering can be for each one of us the beginning of the path of hope.
Ron and Hilary, thank you so much. Thank you not just for this morning, but for every way that you serve God and for your graciousness and your humility in doing that. We deeply appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Our children leave for Sunday school at this stage, and we're going to sing again of that hope.